It is time for the Debate Hockey Podcast. Time to talk some NHL hockey talk. Long All-Star weekend. I am the host of the show, Brad Boot, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars, and lots to talk about. We didn't think there would be, since there was not a lot of hockey this weekend. We didn't know there was going to be 50 other million things happening in the hockey world that we had to talk about. Some good, some not so good. First thing I want to talk about, something that I like. I don't know why. I just always think jerseys are cool. And I want to talk about the top-selling jerseys in the National Hockey League. And
top-selling? Or yeah, teams or players?
I got them both. I got the top 10 teams and I got the top 10 players. Let's start teams. Who's the top team? Who do you think?
I'd have to go with Montreal or Toronto.
Not even close. Montreal's not even in the top 10. Toronto's number 8.
Boston Bruins?
Nope. Number 1, New York Rangers. Number 2, Boston Bruins. Number 3, Vegas Golden Knights. Number 4, Chicago Blackhawks. Number 5, Seattle Kraken. Number 6, Pittsburgh Penguins. Number 7, Colorado Avalanche. 8 is Toronto. 9, New Jersey Devils. 10, Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah, well, all the original 6 teams are in there, that right? So other than Montreal, that's it. The rest of all 5 are in there. Right?
Girls, not. So,
yeah, those are iconic. Those are iconic jerseys. Top 10 players got to be McDavid, Bedard, McKinnon.
McDavid's not in the top 10.
Really?
No. Number 1 is Connor Bedard, which doesn't surprise me. It's his first year. No. He's going to get the most jersey sales. Number 2 is Austin Matthews. Number 3, Pasternak. Number 4, this one surprised me. Panarin's 4. Crosby's 5. Zibanejad is 6. Ovechkin 7th. Marchand 8th. Hughes 9th. McKinnon 10th.
Which Hughes, Jack?
The Devils, yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, does any other Hughes matter?
Well, there's two on New Jersey. So curious.
Well, I'm pretty sure the one that's irrelevant is not
Luke Hughes. Is not irrelevant. Just stop. He's a pretty good defenseman rookie. Stop it.
Comparatively speaking, though, I'm pretty sure he's not going to outdo his brother on that team right away. Right away.
Probably not.
So. Another thing that I really, really like other than hockey jerseys is hockey cards. And I read this article this week, and I want to know what you would do in this situation. So a Saskatchewan family found a case of 16 unopened sealed 1979-80 Opeachy card boxes. It's a total of 7,680 cards in the pack, still sealed. A Gretzky rookie, the latest highest offer for a Gretzky, to date, their highest offer they have received for a case is $1.3 million. The last mint Gretzky rookie sold for $3.75 million. Difficult decision to make. Do you sell the whole case for $1.3 million, or do you take your chances that there's a Gretzky or more?
No, I would sell for $1.3 mil. I mean, it's a guaranteed $1.3 mil. I mean, I'm not a big... it'd be nice to get the 2.6 extra mil, but I mean, you're getting offered one.
You can get 3 of them. You get there's 7,600 cards in there.
No, I know, but
you could get 3 of them. Could get 4 of them.
I don't know, dude. That's such a game of chance. I would take the money, to be honest with you. That's a lot of cards to open up. I mean, 1.3 million. Right? 1.3, it's a lot of money.
And give me a calculator out there. 16 boxes, 48 cards in a box. No, that's 700. That's wrong. They got a typo in there. That's 768 cards.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm taking the money.
Probably.
If it was 7,000, I probably would have took a chance, but not 7.
I think honestly, I would probably take the money, but
yeah,
your odds are probably still pretty good. Because I believe in that set, I'm not 100%. I believe there's like 400 cards per set in that year. So I don't know, man. It's hard to. That's a tough one. It'd be fun as hell to open those, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
What a rush that would be. One other thing before we get into the show. I don't know if you saw it. I believe it was last Monday night or last Tuesday night. So we gotta roll back the memory. Did you see UC Saros come out and make a save on Tim Stützle?
Yeah, and he got a penalty for tripping.
And he gets a penalty for tripping.
Yeah. Yeah, Stutzel's got a history with this.
I'm not blaming him at all. This is all on the refs.
Yeah, I mean, he swung his leg to, like, I don't know, man.
He kicked his leg to make a save, right?
I mean, would he have scored if he didn't get fall down? Maybe, I don't know.
So let me ask you this. How
maybe the ref thought, like, if he didn't trip over the pad, he might have scored. Maybe that's why he called
it. Came first, though. The shot was first. It hit his pad.
Yeah,
I know. What I don't understand is, well, how come then when a goalie comes out, let's say the puck just enters the zone and it's a race, right? And the goalie comes out and slides and hits the puck, right? And trips the player because the player goes flying over him, right? How come that's
not? Well, that's happened before. That's happened before. Remember when Dominic Hasek did it to Marian Gaborik? He got tripping?
Most of the time, though, the guys will slide out and they'll hit the same time and the player goes flying and the puck goes flying and there's no call on that.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't know. Officiating, I just don't understand it anymore. I don't. There's so many inconsistencies. We talked about on the last week's show with that Vancouver thing. It just...
Yeah,
It's weird lately. I still to this day do not know what goaltender interference is. No idea.
Yeah. There's been a couple. Like, there was one where Hyman got pushed by Gudbranson into Merzlikins, and the goal counted. And
the next night,
it wasn't the next night. It was like maybe like a 3 weeks later, Hyman got pushed in by a Toronto player. Nylander got pushed in by an opposition player. The same thing that Hyman did, and it didn't count. Almost like
there's no
clarity. I don't know, man. There's so much gray area. It's not good.
They've got to figure it out. They've got to figure it out. All right. On today's episode, we're going to talk center of trade attention. Center seem to be what people are looking for right at the moment when it comes to trade pieces. We'll go around the league, talk about LA's coach getting fired, best on best player poll, Yolt's future, and OHL suspension, Hockey Canada scandal, and All-Star Weekend. All right, two big centers get traded this week. Let's talk about both of them. Do you want to start with Lindholm or Monahan?
We'll go Monahan first.
Okay, Monahan traded to Winnipeg, and Sean Monahan gets a first in 2024 and a third in 2027.
Yeah, the third in 2027 turns into a first if they win the cup this year. Yeah. If I was Winnipeg and we won the cup, I'd give them three firsts. but this is a good move.
Winnipeg could win the cup. They could. They really could.
This is just terrific asset management by Kent Hughes, right? Because he gets a first from Calgary for taking Monahan $6 million last year, right? Yep. Signs him to a 1 year $2 million deal and turns around and flips them into another first and a conditional third round pick. So this is a great asset management by Montreal. Obviously he'll be missed in that locker room. He's a big leader for them and plays in kind of all situations, but this is a really good fit for Winnipeg. Slots into the second line with Ehlers and Perfetti until Scheifele gets back. So
as a Flames fan, I love Sean Monahan. I think you know what most people in Calgary do. He was great. Well, he was a great Calgary Flame, and he's went through hell.
He was a consistent 30 goal scorer with Calgary. All the guy did was produce. He's probably when he was in his prime, there was nobody better than that guy in the bumper on the power play. Nobody.
But the thing is with Sean Monahan is his injury history is unbelievable. The amount of stuff that guy played through. Yeah. It's astonishing. Yeah. I worry about his durability. I think Winnipeg, I think this is a smart move by Winnipeg. I didn't know that it was. I didn't think they were going to have to give a first for Monahan, but they did, and I think he'll be good. I worry a little bit about the longevity there.
He looks good right now, though. He's playing really well.
Yeah. Part of me kind of thought maybe Montreal would re-sign him at a decent.
It might bring him back in the summer. I wouldn't be surprised. I think he's a big part of that leadership group there.
You just never know. I mean, that rarely happens. We always say that's going to happen, but it rarely happens.
Right.
It just rarely happens. I could, but I don't know. The Winnipeg doesn't. We'll see how things progress here, but that's probably a guy they could get at.
Well, he bet on himself 1 year, $2 million, and the way he's going, he's going to get. Oh, he might get 60 points, right? And he's going to make himself probably $4 million. He's going to probably double his salary.
I think term will always be the issue when it comes to Sean Monahan.
Yeah, it'd be a 2 year deal, probably 2 year, maybe even 1 year.
So we'll see what happens.
It's a really good fit, though. It's a really cost efficient contract. $2 million, I think it is. Play power play, penalty kill, really good in the face off. Good defensively. So yeah, no, it's a good fit.
It's kind of, that's a deep center group there. Shifley, Monahan, Lowry.
Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's good. That's good. Winnipeg, cocked and loaded here. This team's, I like their roster. I really, really, really like their roster. I like the way they're playing. And when you got a goaltender like Connor Hellebuck, boy, anything can happen, right?
Yep. Totally agree.
Lindholm. Lindholm is traded to Vancouver from Calgary.
Yeah.
In return, Calgary gets Andre Kuzmenko, Hunter Bruskowitz, Yanni Yarmo, a 24 first rounder, a conditional 24 fourth round pick. I don't even remember what the condition is there. If they make it to the conference final,
it turns into a third.
Third. Okay.
Yeah. So everybody knew Kuzmenko was going to be a part of any deal that Vancouver made.
And it had to be because of the cap.
Because of his contract. So Vancouver gave up Hunter Buchnevich, okay? He's on pace for 98 points. He's on pace for 98 points as a defenseman in the OHL. So here comes the
Canucks defense.
Not a good listen. He's a good prospect. He's a good prospect, okay? His ceiling is if he pans out, right? If everything goes right for Hunter Buchnevich, okay? He quarterbacks a number one power play, right? Is he quarterbacking a number one power play in Vancouver for the foreseeable future if he pans out? No. You got Quinn Hughes, right? He's blocked. The way that he plays, he was blocked in Vancouver. That's as simple as that. His value is never going to be higher. This guy could have 60 points next year. You don't know. This guy's value is at an all-time high, and Vancouver has been notoriously bad for not selling high on prospects. Think about it, man. The Canucks are in a win now mode right now. They're in a win now mode.
Just time out for one second. I agree with you. I they're definitely in a sell high mode with this player. I completely agree. But if that is the case, and we both agree on that, is the case, are you surprised it took a 2024 first rounder plus a higher end prospect like this? Because that's a pretty good price tag.
It's a pretty good price tag. A little bit. I mean, but
part of it was that they had to take on Kuzmenko and his contract.
Well, Kuzmenko's got a year left of his deal. Like that factors into it. A lot of people aren't looking at that from a Canucks standpoint. They cleared $5.5 million off next year's books. That's huge. That's really important for this Canucks team because they got a lot of free agents this time.
And a good prospect.
That's okay. I mean, Lindholm is the biggest fish on the market that you could go grab. He's the biggest fish. Is he having a bit of a down year? Yeah, he's having a bit of a down year. He's having
a disastrous year.
He's got 9 goals. Okay.
He had a bad year.
And this is no disrespect. This is no disrespect to Calgary's roster at all. Elias Pettersson is probably one of the best players this guy's ever going to play with. Right? Sure. Would you agree with that? So he's going to join a power play with Brockmaster. Right. No, for sure. Pretty equal caliber players. But now he's going to be on a number one power play with Besser, Hughes, Miller, Pettersson. He's going to produce for the Canucks. He's going to produce big time. And I love his versatility. He's a very responsible two-way elite center. 2 years ago, he finished second in the Selke to Patrice Bergeron, scored 42 goals. This guy knows how to score. He just doesn't forget how to score. He's got a the thing with Lindholm is he's not a play driver. He needs somebody to play with him, and he's more of a, you know, I was watching his highlights and from 2 years ago, and when he was at Tkachuk and Gaudreau, he's a guy that finds the soft areas and capitalizes on his chances. Pettersson is great at finding guys. Miller's great at finding the open guy. I think it's going to be a perfect fit. The Canucks have been trying to find a right-handed centerman / winger.
Have him slotted in as the center right now.
No, he's playing on the wing right now with Pettersson. But I'm saying, he's the only right-handed centerman on this roster that can now go out there and take an important face-off on your strong side. And you don't have to rely on Miller to take every single face-off. And if you need to put him in the middle to say you're playing Colorado in the playoffs, he's a shutdown center. Like, he's a shutdown guy. It gives the team so much versatility to play matchup roles now. And I don't know, man. I think it's a great fit. Everybody can talk about, oh, is this a peer rental? I think they can extend this guy. Think about it. He wants $9 million. $9 million to play with the Calgary Flames. Okay.
You
look at this Canucks roster and say, I might take $1.5 million less to stay with these guys. Why not?
Like, timeout.
I see him signing for $7.5 million.
This Canucks roster 12 months ago was junk. And I could see you signing him at $7.5 million. You want to give him $7.5 million?
I think he's worth $7.5 million. Yeah.
You do. Well, so then,
yeah.
So, okay. So that being said,
they have $38 million in cap. They got to sign Pettersson, Hronek, and Lindholm now. Those are the three main guys.
What are you going to do for Teddy Bluger? What are you going to do for those
Teddy Bluger's guys? Teddy Bluger is like a $1.5 million to $2 million player.
That's, I know, but you have to fill those in. Like, you're not going to
I understand that. Hronek's looking at probably $6.5 to $7 million.
Are you replacing Zadorov?
Zadorov on
six.
They're not going to be able to keep Zadorov. He's a rental, yes. We're not going to be able to keep Zadorov. I think they will prioritize signing Lindholm over keeping Zadorov and Myers. Yeah, I do.
Wow, but then they're going backwards, though, because Vancouver finally pulled the blue lights. But listen, hear me out, though. Just hear me out on this. Vancouver, for years, me and you talked on this show, and the hockey world talked about, they were, you know, pretty solid up front. And I would say you take Lindholm out of the mix for next year, and they're pretty solid up front. But now if you start letting, like, and I'm not telling you to go re-sign Myers at a big dollar.
Tyler Myers has been overpaid for the last 5 years in this market. You don't think he takes like a $2.5-3 million contract?
$3 million, three times three. But you got to do that for Hronek. You got to fill Zadorov's spot. Listen.
I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. Oof. But I think they will try hard to extend Lindholm. I think
your team is better served shoring up the back end with that money than it is shoring up Lindholm, because your forward lines without Lindholm are fine. They're fine. They're not amazing.
You think the Canucks didn't have to go out and get Lindholm right now?
I don't think Lindholm. I think Lindholm's an awesome player. I loved him in Calgary, right? But the last 2 years, I've been extremely frustrated with his play. He doesn't put up points, and he had one
goal in the last 22 games. Yeah,
he had I'm not talking about that. He had one good year.
What I'm telling you is He's not a play driver. He needs somebody to drive the bus for him.
So that's an expensive
That's what Gaudreau and Tkachuk did. Now, if you play this guy with Pedersen and Mikheyev,
so you, that's crazy. So I agree with you. But when I pay a guy $7.5 million or more, he better be a play driver.
He's a very responsible two-way player.
Agree. That's worth that much.
It's not like he's a one-dimensional $7.5 million player. You know you're going to get this guy working his ass off at both ends of the rink.
I completely agree.
So I think it's the perfect fit for this team. Like I'm telling you, you're going to have to, if the Canucks want to go where they want to go, you're going to have to go through the Edmonton Oilers, the Vegas Golden Knights, and the Colorado Avalanche. Listen, it would not surprise me if in the playoffs, Vancouver at some points goes Pedersen, Miller, Lindholm down the middle. Because like that, you're gonna have to match up with like McKinnon and Eichel and McDavid. Like they got Lindholm in mind for shutdown lines. That is your top shutdown line now. Pedersen and Lindholm is your top shutdown line. It takes a load off JT Miller and Brock Besser. They can maybe get some softer matchups, take advantage of that. They got a lot of options, man. They got a lot of options. I really like, this is a win-win trade. And listen, I'm a big Kuzmenko guy. It was very evident that this guy cannot play Rick Tocchet style. And I hope he goes to Calgary and pops off. I really do. Cause he's a fan favorite. Calgary's going to love this guy. He's a happy go lucky guy. He's just got no confidence right now. And when you're a goal scorer with no confidence, I mean, boy, it's tough sledding. I hope he slides in there with Huberto and produces. I really do, because he's a fun player to watch when he's on, boy. He scored 39 goals last year. He's exciting to watch. But when he's got no confidence, he's not shooting the puck. I mean, you're taking up $5.5 million up in the press box for the Canucks right now, right? And they turn that into a really producible, a really good player in Lindholm. So I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think it's a pretty fair deal. I think it's a fair return for Lindholm. And I think it's a pretty fair deal. I really do. I think Lindholm will be good.
You got to give up something to get some, dude. And especially like, think about this.
I worry if I'm a Vancouver fan is this, your prospect cupboards are not really very stacked.
Hold on. They didn't trade any of their top prospects. Yeah, you could say Bruce Dravich is a top prospect, but you didn't trade Tom Willander or Lekkomäki or Atu Ratu or Podkolzin. You still have those four.
Okay.
Those four are big.
You don't have a first or a second pick next year.
This year we don't. We got a first and second next year.
In 2024 coming up this year, you don't have a first or a second.
Upcoming. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, there. What did I say on this podcast literally 2 months ago? I said the Canucks are going to be aggressive because this team's going to be hard to keep together. And that's what you do. You go out and get Zadorov and you go and get Lindholm. And it wouldn't surprise me if they got creative and brought in another guy, forward. Right?
I think they have to be aggressive. I do. I think it's a really prime opportunity for this team.
You got players that are playing above their potential. You got Brock Besser scoring 30 goals. You got one of the best goaltenders in the league. You got a deep defense core. Like, it's go time, dude.
Why did I hear rumors? And I mean, I take rumors with a grain of salt, believe me.
Zadorov.
Why did I hear those? Why are we hearing that already?
I don't know. Really? Shut it down, and so did Jim Rutherford. I just don't see it. He's been a good fit on the third pair with Myers. He got benched, actually. Talk had benched him the whole third period a few games ago because he played like shit. Good for him. That's accountability. You play like shit, you ain't playing.
The sad thing is, though, he does it way too frequently.
Who, talking?
No. Zadorov.
He's been fine. He's had a couple tough games, but other than that, he's been pretty fine. Like for the Canucks, like another Ike, I think they should target a guy like Anthony Duclair for a middle six cheap cost winger, like fast.
I think you need to get another defenseman.
Over a winger?
Yeah, you can't have enough defensemen for the playoffs. I honestly believe that. I hate to say that. You can't have enough defensemen for the playoffs.
They have 7 NHL D-men right now.
Well, you probably need 8.
Well, 8 if you count Noah Juleson.
Eh, I don't count Noah Juleson. You want Noah Juleson playing Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals? I don't.
Not, but...
No, I mean, he's a good player. I'm not saying that.
I'm just excited, dude. Like, the Canucks haven't went for a deadline since, I mean, they picked up Tyler Toffoli before the COVID stopped. Before that, it was like 2013. It's been a long, dark time for Canucks fans. So to see them being aggressive and go and get a big fish, what does this mean for Colorado and all? They need a second line center so bad. They missed out on Lindholm. They missed out on Monahan. Like, what's the next move for them? They've been trying to replace Kadri since he left.
I think they need a backup goalie more than anything.
Yeah, you might not be wrong. Gorgiev hasn't been very good this year.
I think you need to solidify the back end. I think that's more of a priority if I'm Joe Sakic.
But like, do you really think Ryan Johansson's the answer second line center? I think he's more of a third line center guy.
Probably not. But I've seen a lot of teams go deep in the playoffs with a group that you're like, geez, I didn't really think that was going to work, and it did. Is it ideal on paper? Blake, I'm just going to tell you this. I had how many years where I looked at my Flames a couple of years ago and I was like, this is the best defense on paper. You said it too. Yeah. Didn't look the best on the ice. I had a group of forwards that I was like, woof, on paper, boy, this is salty. Wasn't so salty. You had
played on paper, that's for sure.
Let's flip the script. We looked at Vancouver's roster at the beginning of this season, and me and you both thought adequate. Not that great, but adequate.
I picked them to miss the playoffs. So,
right. So that's what I'm saying, Blake.
But I came into this season for them with not much expectations. Like, I was just like, we'll see. And nobody predicted them to be first place almost at the middle of February. It's crazy.
That's what's so wonderful about hockey. Things can change in 12 months.
Yeah.
Like, rosters change in 12 months. It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's great for the league, for sure.
Time to go around the league. Another coach falls in the NHL. 13 of them since last season as the Rangers, Calgary, Anaheim, Washington, Nashville, Columbus, twice. Edmonton, St. Louis, Ottawa, Minnesota, Islanders, and the Kings now. Holy.
Did you name Edmonton?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's a tough business. I mean, you get off to the best start in franchise history, and all of a sudden you lose 14 to 16, and you know, the first 15 games you think you're fat and happy and you're coasting along, and all of a sudden that shit just hits the fan, and that's the way it goes. I mean, we kind of suspected this may happen. Anytime you lose 14 to 16, you got to do something. You can't just it's either fire the coach or make a trade, and you can't fire players. So
You can sit players, right?
You can sit players, but I mean, there's star guys that weren't producing. Like, you're paying Dubois. I hate to pick on the guy while he's down, but it's like,
I would have said Doughty. I don't like what you're talking about in the locker room. Be a leader, not a don't cause controversy.
But Devontae did that, and it woke up the Avalanche.
He did it completely different, though. We talked about this last week on the show. He did it.
It was the same message, though. It was the exact same message. There's guys in here that are more worried about their individual stats than winning games. It's exactly what Doughty said. It's the same thing. There's different messages. I mean, and coming from a guy like Toews, who's been a very good defenseman, and it's the same thing with Doughty. He's a Norris winner. He's a 2-time Stanley Cup winner. He's trying to spark his team, right? So I didn't have a problem with what he said. He's not wrong, right? I don't know. It's a tough business.
We went down this road last week. I just question his. I question how the locker room views him. I really do.
Well, and now they brought in DJ Smith as assistant coach.
I did see that today.
I don't know
what that's going to do.
That sounds like a Vancouver move, right? You bring in an assistant coach before you hire a head coach. Like, does that make sense?
They got an interim head coach. They got an interim head coach for the rest of the year. Jim Hiller.
That's a Canucks classic moment. Who they have for a consulting firm, the Vancouver Canucks. Right? Yeah. All right. We did a player poll this week, and we're not talking about this long. I want to run through it a little quick. The Athletic does this player poll every year where they ask, I believe they ask like 200 plus NHL players. And best player in the league, I think we're pretty – I'll tell you some of the ones that I thought were interesting. McDavid wins it, McKinnon second, Kucherov third. And then it was Crosby, Makar, Kaprizov, Matthews, Barkov, Forsberg, and Panarin. Interesting.
Best goalie.
Who do you think the best goalie? Who do the players say was the best goalie?
Wouldn't surprise me if it was Andrei Vasilevskiy.
It was 44% said Vasilevskiy. Third was Hellebuck. Second was Hellebuck, excuse me. Third was Sorokin and Demko tied. Then Shesterkin, Swayman. 3% got other. And then there was a couple 1%ers here. 3% got for Saros. 2.73 for Fleury. Ullmark, Bennington.
He must have voted
for himself.
What are the players high?
Ottinger only got 1%. Really?
He's coming off an injury, though.
Aiden Hill got 1% too.
Yeah.
I don't even want to talk about the most underrated player in the league. Barkov wins it every single time.
How can you be underrated at that point?
You know, there was a couple interesting names, though, that were mentioned here. Matthias Maselli was mentioned. And have you ever watched? He's really a good player.
He's crafty.
Chandler Stephenson, Adrian Kempe, Jason Dickinson, Gustav Forsling, Charlie Coyle. Interesting names mentioned that the players named. Brock Nelson. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
This is a good one. Most overrated player in the league.
Oh boy. I'm not going to guess, so name him away.
Trevor Zegras 1, Darnell Nurse 2, Kachuk 3.
This is players voting?
Players voting, yep. Dubois was mentioned. Ovechkin was mentioned. Huberto was.
Ovechkin?
4.95% of the players said Ovechkin.
Really?
Well, think of all the hype he gets. How big of a factor is he now? I mean, really, how big of a factor is he?
I mean, he's getting old.
He's not a factor. Jacob Trouba was named. Evander Kane. Those are just two people that just fucking hate them.
Yeah, true. Trouba's not overrated. Like, what? So,
all right. Who is the player in the league whose face you would like to punch the most?
Brad Marchand.
Nick Cousins went away.
Oh, yeah.
And then Marchand, Kachuk, Bunting, Connor Garland, Hathaway, Brady Kachuk.
This passed.
Lomberg. I had to laugh. Trevor Zegras has got a couple votes. Rasmus Anderson did. Like, who wants to punch Rasmus Anderson?
Somebody on Edmonton.
Oh. And then they did some things with the best and the worst ref. We don't need to go into that, but let's move on. Speaking of bad, the Arizona Coyotes. They keep saying that they're going to have this arena deal, and then it keeps getting pushed out, and a deadline goes by. Well, this week at the All-Star game, shit kind of hit the fan with Marty Walsh, and he kind of went off about them in the situation out there, and how it's crazy how deadlines keep getting pushed and pushed and pushed.
He's fed up, and then I don't blame him. I mean, it's he even talked about how he's put in requests for things to get from the team, and they haven't given it to him about the buildings and stuff. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's very fishy situation. Like, but Gary Bettman loves that market for some reason.
I know and I agree, but I feel like he's starting to turn.
Well,
some of his comments,
but
This Bettman's comment was:
Are you talking about when he interviewed with Ron McLean?
No, this was another quote during his addressing of the media.
Okay.
Alex Morello told me he was certain he will get this done. I am hopeful and reasonably confident he's going to do what he says. I think this is starting to wear on Bettman a bit. And in our 10 prediction show at the beginning of the year, I predicted this year that the Coyotes would announce a moving of the team next year. And I still think that's going to happen.
Well, how many times have we seen they have a deal in place to get a land down in Phoenix? It's like, okay. It's one thing
after another, right? It's one thing after another.
I mean, soon as the residents of Tempe or whatever it was declined that thing, I mean, it should have been done. You should have been out of there. You should have been looking to relocate.
Yep.
It's clear that that market doesn't want hockey there.
No.
The fans and the residents spoke. That should have been all that needed to be done.
Yeah.
Move them to Salt Lake or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, me too. We've been saying this for years.
I think Utah would be a cool hockey market.
We've had 243 episodes. I think we've talked about it on 130 of them, right?
Yeah.
About Olympics, Four Nations, the NHL announces that they will participate in the 2026 and 2030 Olympic hockey tournaments.
Yeah.
They also announce a 2025 Four Nations face-off, which will be Canada, U.S., Sweden, and Finland. And I don't know.
Yeah, I know you don't like not Russia not being in it, but who knows by 2026? Who knows by 2026 if they're back in the Olympics? I don't know.
Let me ask a quick question on this. We can all not agree with Russia's decisions, but should that penalize sports? And here's another reason why I say that. Because if Canada or the U.S. did something, I don't think we'd get shot out of this.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair point.
I don't know. I mean, but by no means by me saying this do I condone what Russia's doing. Heck, I don't want any unrest in our world at all.
No.
But I'm just sitting here looking at, like, from a realist perspective, and it's like, okay, does it affect sports? Like, by letting Russia play in these tournaments, is that the rest of the world saying it's okay? No, absolutely not. No one is saying that. And by letting them play in sports, I don't think that's, you know, the Olympics is pathetic. They just say, well, you just can't be called Russia. You can be Russia, but you can't be called
Olympic athletes of Russia.
So do we need to play like childish games by naming them something different? Or what do we need to do to make this politically correct? Because I don't condone it at all, but I also think it's ludicrous to not let them play in the hockey tournament.
Yeah. Well, that's fair.
Because if we're going to take it so far as to say, you're not playing in the nation's face-off and you're not playing in the Olympics because of it, you know, then why aren't we telling the players you're not allowed to play in the league? What the hell's the difference?
Right.
What the hell's the difference?
No, that's fair.
I don't understand that. And I'm not against a best on best tournament, but this isn't going to be best on best because the part of the best isn't going to be allowed to play.
Yeah. Kucherov and Kaprizov and Ovi.
Russian team is one of the most fun. You know, we can all sit and say that the U.S. Canada rivalry is the greatest rivalry. It's really not.
U.S. and Canada and Russia is pretty good too.
Canada Russia one and the U.S. Russia one.
Yeah.
Miracle on Ice. Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right.
We've had many more rivalry games. Heck, you know the bubble hockey game that comes out? Remember, you know the dome bubble hockey game?
Yeah.
In the States, that's Canada Russia.
Yeah.
It's not it's U.S. Russia. It's not Canada U.S. It's U.S. Russia.
Yeah.
That's the part that I just.
I'm just happy that we're getting international play because
happy we're done with the All-Star game.
The last one we had was 2018 Sochi, right? And now, you know, we get to see
Crosby play with McKinnon, and you know, all these guys play together. And listen, and we talked about
this. Why do you start naming the Canadian guys? I think the U.S. roster is going to be assaulted.
No, listen, I'm just saying. I told you about this on this podcast. I don't love Canada's chances to get a gold medal. I don't love their goaltending. I don't care how good you are up front and how good you are on the back end. If your options right now are Aiden Hill, Darcy Kemper, Marc-Andre Fleury, Jordan Binnington. I might be missing a couple more, but I mean, Tristan Jarry versus Thatcher Demko, Connor Hellebuck, or Jake Oettinger. I know who I'm taking.
That's a salty top three, boy.
I know who I'm taking. And you can even put Jeremy Swayman into that conversation too. Like they're so stacked and they're going to have just as much firepower up front and on the back end as Canada.
They're going to be good rosters. And you know, you even take a look at that Sweden or Finland roster and they're going to
You got really Harrison, good. Nylander, you got Eriksson Ek. I mean, your back end, you got Hedman, you got Markstrom and Nett. Like they're good. It's I like those four teams. Would it be cool to have Russia or the Czech Republic in there? Yeah, maybe. But I think that out of the four they could have picked, that's the right four to pick.
You know, though, you know, I don't know what the format is, but I think if you really want to do this right, you send Sweden and Finland overseas and have them play a best of five, and you have US play Canada in the best of five, and then the winners meet in the US to play best of five.
Yeah, no, that would be a cool idea. Whatever, yeah. So they're doing the Four Nations next year, right? 2025.
Yep.
And then the Olympics in 2026. And then I believe it's every 2 years. So you'll have the Four Nations in 2027, and then you'll have the Olympics in 2030.
Alternate every other year.
Every other year. So 25, 28. And then the Olympics. Yeah. So there's four guaranteed dates locked in for international hockey, which hockey fans are pumped because like Crosby's not getting any younger, right? Like we want to see Crosby play with McKinnon and Bedard and McDavid and all this stuff. Like, right. Like hockey fans want to see best from best. I know you like Russia, whatever, but like we've been craving for international hockey for a long time. We're finally getting it, right?
One of the things, though, that I think you're not taking into consideration is we're craving best on best in our time zone. We're not craving best on best at 4 a.m.
I'll still wake up at 4 a.m. to watch.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
You're not waking up at 4 a.m. to watch that?
Depends.
Yeah, you are. Canada, Russia, gold medal game. You're not waking up at 4 a.m.? Yeah, you are.
I'm just saying, though, like, you know, when I look back, like I really remember the Calgary Olympics. I really remember the Vancouver Olympics because my middle daughter was a newborn. So I would be up at night late watching the games with, you know, Giddy trying to get her to sleep. You know, you remember those Olympics a whole lot more than when they're in, you know.
I still remember the Sochi ones pretty well. I remember the Sochi ones pretty well. The games are on the middle of the afternoon. That wasn't ideal, but
well, it's a hell of a lot better than the middle of the night.
Right. Right.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
One other thing I want to talk about, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a suspension this week in the OHL and Niagara Ice Dogs forward Alex Asandorian was just suspended indefinitely. Now, I'm not condoning what he did, but I'm just trying to get.
What's his name? How do you spell his name?
Alex Asandorian. He made a gesture to the other opponent, threatening that he was going to.
He slit his throat?
Yes. Yes. And he's been suspended indefinitely by the league. Indefinitely. And I was thinking about that, and I'm not condoning what he did, but I'm so puzzled by this. I see players more often get suspended by gestures.
He also said you're effing dead.
Okay. So Phil Esposito did that
Well, who did that? Who was it? Was it Kadri to Giordano?
Kadri did it about 5 years ago.
He was in Toronto to Giordano.
The 1972 Russian Canada Summit Series, freaking Phil Esposito did it.
Yeah.
Like,
how many games did Kadri get? Do you remember?
I think it was like 4 or 5.
Okay.
Okay, but here's my point. I'm not condoning that at all. But what I'm saying is, why do I see a trend for people getting longer penalties for saying something or gesturing something than actually physically freaking hurting somebody on the ice?
Yeah.
Why do we see in trends like that? You can slash the shit out of somebody and nothing happens. But if you call them a name on the way to the penalty box, you're history.
Yeah.
Just puzzling. I'm just puzzled. Yeah. Should it be suspendable? Absolutely. But like, come on, let's look at where we're really having problems here, right?
Yeah.
There's trash talk. That is said. Oh my God.
Even in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, like I've been seeing a lot of tens just get handed out. Like they're just handing out tens like candy for trash talk and taunting. And it's, I don't know, man. It's interesting.
We just need to be able to be tougher human beings once in a while. It's a game. This, you know, one of the things that I've heard people say about hockey for centuries, what am I talking about? I'm not 100 years old.
Decades.
For decades is hockey is one of those sports where me and you can go at it on the ice and say things and do things to each other.
Well, even in the urban
and after
all the time.
And after we can sit and have a beer and be buddies, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be a man. I don't want to talk about this whole long, but the Hockey Canada sex scandal thing kind of broke last week and kind of went a little bit further today when Windsor police had their press conferences and the charges were, I don't know, kicked down the curb, I guess. I don't really know what happened, even the charges. I think they were.
So they had their first court hearing today. None of the players were present on Zoom. It was just the players' lawyers, and it was just a quick first hearing and kind of get the ball rolling, I guess. It got dismissed or adjourned to April 30th.
Which leads me to believe this is going to take about 5 years.
They were saying that there's not even going to be a trial till the latest 2026. So
can we agree that these players are officially done in the National Hockey League?
Until the trial is over, yeah. I mean, they won't play another game for sure.
Well, I've never seen a professional athlete take 4 years off and come back.
Well, it'd be two, but yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I think they're done.
They're all still young, though. They're all relatively young, so.
I know, but where do you go play? Do you go overseas?
You're going to have to. You're going to have to go to the KHL.
They probably won't allow them to.
The KHL?
No. The KHL will take them.
That's what I'm saying. The KHL,
The Canadian government will not let them leave the country.
Yeah, they might not. You're right.
They will not let them leave the country, I would guess. Okay. Well, here's a couple of questions before we move on. I don't want to talk about this a whole lot. There's a couple things that I don't understand. And I don't know if there's answers for this. Remember, first of all, when I listened to the press conference today, the first police officer that spoke sounded like a robot. Did he not? And that sounded weird. I don't know why this took so long. I never heard an answer today. I heard a lot of, it should not take this long, but it did take this long. I want to know why Hockey Canada wasn't brought to the forefront a little bit more because it was their event, but I'm sure that'll come out a little bit more as we get more information. I want to know if it was a coincidence this was held off until after World Juniors. I don't know. That's probably just me speculating. Will these players ever play another NHL game? I don't know. I guess we'll wait and see what the justice system does. I hope they get, and I'm sure they will get a fair trial. And I guess the only part that really frustrates me the most about this is
Hockey Canada covering it up with the slush fund.
That is huge. That is disgraceful.
It's disgusting.
It is. Dylan Dubé claiming mental health issues.
Hold on. Pause. That's bad.
What? That he did that?
Do you believe Calgary that they had no idea about this? Do you believe? Yes.
Because I've heard multiple reports that their lawyers instructed the players not to mention it. Did Calgary know that this situation was going to come to? Yes, they did. All the teams did. But if a player comes to you and says, I have to leave for mental health issues, and they report it as something other than mental health issues, then that's on Calgary, right? Yeah. If a player comes to you and says, I got to leave for mental health issues, you have to report it as I'm leaving for mental health issues.
Well, if you're Dylan Dubé, Why wouldn't you just say like Carter Hart just said, I need to take a leave of absence.
Exactly. Right.
Don't paint the picture for that. Like, just say you need a leave of absence indefinitely.
He painted himself as the victim.
Right.
Like, whoa.
Bad. He did. And it put his team and it put the organization in a tough spot is what it did.
Calgary in a really tough spot because they have
to. Now Calgary had to backtrack and and they got a lot of backlash on that. They did. It's not even their fault.
It's not their fault at all. They had to report what they were told and what they were instructed, right? Right. They had no choice.
I feel bad for the Flames, but
we got about 2 minutes here to get through the All-Star, where this is turning into a monster long episode.
Yeah.
All-Star game, didn't watch it. Here's what I took away. I didn't watch it. Okay. You're going to fill me in. I didn't watch it. Here's what I got from not watching it. I didn't know who Tate McRae is. Evidently, she's big and talked about all over the place now.
He's up and coming.
Kucherov embarrasses himself and the game and should receive 50 slashes a game from here on out. Connor McDavid is definitely the league's golden boy. That's all I got.
Yeah. I sent you the graphic. It was the numbers were way up, and which is what the league wanted.
Did you hear what the numbers reported in the U.S. were?
I have no idea.
The draft that was televised, right? I'm just pulling it up here. I want to make sure I get the right number. The All-Star draft got 46,000 viewers in the U.S.
I don't care. 46,000. I'm just saying the skills competition was way more entertaining and way more engaging. And the players, actually, there was no gimmicky players coming out with props and none of this bullshit pre-recorded events. And it was just like, we're going to do the hardest shot. We're going to do a relay. We're going to do a passing challenge. We're going to do the fastest skater. And we're going to do 6 events. And we're going to eliminate the bottom 4. We're going to go to a final 8. We're going to drop it down to 6. Then we're going to do a relay with everything involved. I think it was designed by the players. It was designed by the players. The players had a big say in what happened. And I think that's the correct move.
I heard it took a little long, but was better.
It took a little. Yeah, it was a little. They had 2 performances mixed in there. They had 2 performances mixed in there, which is whatever, broke up the events a little bit. But yeah, no, it was engaging to watch. I'm not a big fan of the skills competitions in the past, but I thought this one was one of the best in most recent memory.
Good. Right direction then.
Yeah, no, it's designed by the players. Gary Bettman went to the players and said, what do you think we should do? And that's what you
are players.
Well, I mean, if McDavid designed it or whatever, I don't care. As long as they got it right, it was good. I liked it.
That's good. I'm glad it was better.
Yeah.
Are you ready for 3 questions?
Let's do it.
It's time for 3 questions.
All right. I fired 3 of Blake last week. It is his turn this week. Fire away.
Who's the next domino to fall for the trade market?
Chris Tanev.
When do you think you'll get traded? Do you think it'll be before the deadline or at the deadline?
Saturday.
You think he gets traded Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Who do you think he goes to?
Toronto.
For what?
Not a clue. Haven't got that deep into it.
If he goes to Toronto,
I don't know how they fit it, though.
I think it would be, well, I would say half retained, but Calgary's owner has never retained in a single contract in the history of the Calgary.
It may be
astonishing. It is astonishing that that's the case.
I could see if they retain half, I could see definitely a first round pick and maybe like Nick Robertson and a prospect. Be something like that. Yeah, I could see Toronto as a fit for sure. For sure. Question number two. Who has bigger impact, Monahan or Lindholm?
Well, I think if you're a betting man, you're a fool not to say Lindholm, right?
Playing with better players?
No, I don't think he's playing with better players. Winnipeg's freaking top six is stacked.
Patterson or he's playing with Perfetti and Ehlers.
Okay, well, Ehlers, I'll put Ehlers with. I mean, Pettersson's probably better than Ehlers, but I mean.
Probably? Come on.
But, you know, you look at it this way, Monahan's I think a quicker release in the slot, although.
Yeah, no, he's great in the bumper for sure.
I mean, Lindholm can be real good. I mean, I don't know. As a whole, probably Lindholm.
What playoff matchup do you most want to see as a fan?
I think a couple that stand out right away. I think a Vancouver Vegas series. I remember that being a hell of a battle a few years ago. And I think a Vancouver Edmonton would be exciting as hell. I think a Toronto Tampa Bay series would be fun as
Toronto Boston.
I think there's a potential for quite a few really good battles this year. I really believe it.
I want to see where Dallas is out here. Give me a sec.
Why does everybody keep talking about Dallas?
Hang on.
I don't understand why everybody is so enamored with Dallas this year because they're not doing that well.
They're 30-13-6, Brad.
I know.
They're 2 points out of first place in the division.
I know. Why do they feel like they don't do well? Why is it? Why? When I watch them, it just.
Brad, they're 7-2-1 in their last 10.
I know.
They're not doing well, he said. What the hell are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah, a Dallas Winnipeg series would be unbelievable to watch.
Two good goaltenders. That's
Oh, yeah.
Florida Tampa Bay.
Even a Winnipeg or Colorado. Like if Dallas wins the division, you get Winnipeg, Colorado first round. Sure.
Let's just face facts. Everybody in the West is going to be fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. The narrative was, oh, my God, the East is so much stronger than the West. Not a chance right now. Not a damn chance. Everybody kicked down the Pacific. Oh, it's the worst division in the league. No, it's not. Are you joking me? Two of the hottest teams in the league right now, Vancouver, Edmonton, same division right now. How is it the worst division in the league?
Was that three questions?
Yeah, it was. You got a listener question?
Listener question. What is the present day ultimate power play quarterback? Who is the present day ultimate power play quarterback?
Well, I think it's 1A, 1B with Hughes and Makar. That's your golden boys for the power play quarterback. You can put Roman Josi into that. You can put Heiskanen into there. I think the 1 and 2 would be Hughes and Makar. I mean, just the way they can walk the line and change angles of the shots and manipulate the passes and the lanes. And for the longest time, Hughes wasn't really a threat up there because he didn't have a shot developed. Now he developed a shot, and now you got to respect Hughes up at the top. You got to respect Makar's shot at the top. I mean, yeah.
I wrote down Makar, Hughes, Josi, Heiskanen, and Fox.
Yep. Yeah. Those would be my top five as well. Yeah. You can put in Eric Carlson, maybe quarterback power play.
Yeah.
But also
be irrelevant 3 years from now.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, those would be my five for sure.
All right, that was an extended version.
Yeah, that was an hour. Holy shit.
More than we usually go. Yeah. Hockey's finally back. That's good. Two games tonight. Tuesday it really gets going with a full ledger.
Are they on right now?
They're over.
Oh, they're over.
So we are off and running, headed towards NHL trade deadline. And we'll probably get some more moves in the coming weeks. Enjoy this week's hockey action. We're back next Tuesday with another episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast.
Hockey fans, that was another great episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with Brad Berut and Blake Friars. Keep it locked on debatehockey.com for podcast updates. Subscribe on all the major podcast players and never miss an episode. Controversial NHL hockey talk every week, presented by Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.